Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. On August 6th, the Philadelphia Orchestra will kick off their summer season at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center with the Great American Songbook. Bramwell Tovey will conduct an evening of music from the Gershwins, Bernstein, and Copland, with vocal selections performed by Brian Stokes Mitchell.
It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so.
Tony Award winner for the 1999 revival of Kiss Me, Kate, Brian Stokes Mitchell's other Broadway credits include The Kiss of the Spider-Woman, Ragtime, Man of La Mancha, and Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown.
Yesterday is a saffron yellow, the warmth of summer, the smell of apple, the soft guitar in the wedding chapel that echoes through the day, explodes in a bright magenta, alive and full like a perfect flower that holds the seed of the passing hour, which brings us to...
His most recent solo record, Simply Broadway, was released in 2012. He played Dr. Jackpot Jackson on the CBS series Trapper John, M.D. from 1979 to 1986, and cracked me up as a kid as the egotistical Trevor on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He is also the chairman of the board of the Actors Fund. Brian Stokes Mitchell, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks, Sarah. It's great to be here with you.
You very often perform with orchestras. What do you like about stepping out in front of all those instruments and singing?
Well, there's nothing like performing in front of an orchestra. You get basically an unlimited number of colors behind you. And then to work with artists that are at the top of their game, all of the people in the orchestra, I mean, they work so hard at these instruments, and they work so hard to get into the orchestra in the first place, and they work so hard to keep up with the repertoire. You're working with the best artists in the world and the best conductors in the world. And, you know, here I get to work with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and they're just amazing. And it really is, it's a rush to stand in front of an orchestra and, you know, feel that timpani roll behind you and hear that brass fanfare behind you. I mean, there's just nothing like it. It really is amazing, not only for the artist, but hopefully for the audience as well.
You are performing with the Philadelphia Orchestra, as you just mentioned, and you're performing songs from the American Songbook. What do you think it is about the American Songbook that keeps people coming back to it? What is it about these songs that's so iconic and lasting?
Great melodies. They're from movies that we know and love, a lot of them. I'm doing a lot of Gershwin in this particular program, and man, what an incredible writers they were, the Gershwin brothers. What a loss, too, that George Gershwin died so young, because, man, I would have loved to have heard what he would have come up with if he had lived another 30, 40, 50 years. But there are these songs that are just kind of a part of our collective consciousness, I think. We know them so well. We hear them. They're played in commercials. They're played as background music. You hear it when you get in an elevator. You hear it when you turn in your radio. You hear them when you turn on your television set. You just can't get away from these songs. They're incredible melodies, incredible lyrics, and they make us feel good.
You are working on this show with Bramwell Tovey as conductor, who you've not worked with before. What do you have to do to prepare, and how do you communicate? How often do you check in? How do you get ready for this performance?
Well, we've had a few conversations already about what the music will be, and what I try to do is choose songs that are going to fit in with whatever he's decided he wants his program to be, and he wanted to do the American Songbook. I've done so many concerts now, I probably have 5 hours of material that I could perform, so it's really easy then for me to customize the songs that I have to fit in beautifully with the program that a conductor has. So that's the first thing we do, is we'll talk about what we want to do, what we're trying to accomplish, where I'm going to appear in the show, how it's going to be, what we want the audience to feel, what the venue is like. And then the incredible thing that a lot of people don't realize is we only have one rehearsal together with the orchestra. Generally, the morning before the orchestral rehearsal, we'll get together in the conductor's suite, and I'll sit down with just the pianist, and we'll go over kind of the nitty-gritty of the individual arrangements that I have. All of my arrangements and orchestrations are custom. So he's never seen these. He doesn't know them. He doesn't know my tempos or how anything goes together. So we'll spend a lot of time then figuring out for him, you know, exactly where I need to be, how we're going to deal with tempo changes and all of that. And then sometimes 10 minutes after we're done, we're in with the orchestra and doing it. But because of the artistry of the conductor and the musicians, everybody is so incredibly high, you really don't need more than one rehearsal. It's always good to have more than one, and sometimes you do as a huge luxury. But generally, when an audience sees the show, that may be the second time that orchestra and that artist are performing together, and it's always amazing to me how incredible it all comes off.
Yeah, as an audience member, potential observer, I find that astounding that there's only one rehearsal before.
Yeah, you'd think, oh, they've been rehearsing for months together. No, it's just one time. It's pretty cool. I mean, that's one of the things that I love about being able to do these concerts is, as I said before, you're working on a level that is kind of unusually high. And there's probably a little bit of adrenal energy that you see as well, because we are doing it, you know, we're not sure of our footing a lot of times. The orchestra is really, you know, they're reading these charts down for the first time, and I don't know exactly what the conductor's going to do or what the orchestra's going to do. So it's kind of fun. It keeps it fresh for all of us.
You also do cabaret, which I imagine is just about the opposite of singing with full orchestra. What itch does a cabaret performance, a one-man show with a smaller band, scratch? What does that satisfy?
Well, they're kind of similar, actually, in a lot of ways. I mean, one of the things that I love about performing concerts is that it's very much like doing a Broadway show. You're doing a performance for a live audience. You're doing it for that one time only, that special kind of performance. It'll never be seen again by an audience anywhere ever, that particular performance. And there's that wonderful energy that happens between not only the musicians on stage, but that happens between an audience and the performers that are on stage as well. I always say the audience is the last character when I'm doing a show that enters into the show, because they kind of tell you then how things are working. If the laugh lines are funny, if it's too slow, whatever. And I've done the show now enough times that I really have a good sense of how an audience will react to it. But you're never sure. And also, I say something different every time that I do the show. I really customize the show to the venue. So whether I'm doing it with just a piano or whether I'm doing it with an orchestra, really it's the same kind of thing. It's about making a connection with an audience. For me, being in the theater, particularly in the theater, I find more than film or television, is almost a spiritual experience. I think most performers feel this way, that it's similar kind of to going to a church, you know, or a synagogue or wherever somebody may go. And I think the audience should feel better when they leave than they did when they walked in. There's something wonderful and transformative that happens. And there's this synergistic thing that happens between an audience and the artists that are on stage. And it's the same kind of thing that happens, I think, in a church between a good preacher and the congregation. And there's a spirit that kind of takes over the room that's bigger than the individual pieces. And I think when we walk out with that feeling, we feel we've had this kind of ecstatic experience. And it's not necessarily religious that's tied to a god of any kind, but it's the same kind of spiritual high, I think, that you get when you go to a religious service, if it's done right.
Earlier this summer, you did Shakespeare in the Park. You were in Much Ado About Nothing. Had you done Shakespeare in the Park before?
It was my very first Shakespeare in the Park. As a matter of fact, it was my very first Shakespeare play to do. I did Kiss Me, Kate before, but of course, that's a musicalized version.
And you won the Tony Award for that.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And you do a portion of the original Shakespeare as part of the show, but it's largely about Cole Porter and Bella Spiewak, the book writer, you know, and that second story that's going on. But this was my very first Shakespeare to do, and I have to say I was a little terrified to do it, not having ever done it before, and especially to do it in Central Park, because you're doing it for an audience of connoisseurs, the people that see the show wait in line sometimes from 6 in the morning, sometimes from the night before, to be able to see your show. So they've been there a long, long time. And people that do that really love their Shakespeare. It was an exceptional cast. It was an exceptional director, Jack O'Brien, who directed it. And the weather, we got so lucky. We got rained out only twice. We got rained on twice, where we had to stop the show and start again. But otherwise, the weather was pretty mild and beautiful. And it's so fascinating because you can really see the correlation between weather and an audience's reaction. When the weather was beautiful and it was cool and balmy, you know, the audience was really enthusiastic. If it was a thick, heavy kind of humid day, the audience was kind of thick and heavy and humid. They were always spectacular, but there was a difference between it. And I found that same kind of thing happens in a theater that's an interior theater. This, of course, is outside, and I think everything is more amplified. But it was a joyous experience, and to be able to delve into Shakespeare on a really deep level with a company that was there with you the entire time, I have to say it's probably one of the three best theatrical experiences I've ever had in my life.
Well, I'm, of course, going to ask, what are the other two?
Well, one of them would be Ragtime, I would have to say. And then the other one I kind of hold open for a wild card. So it's probably the show I happen to be working on at the time, if you ask me. But I don't know. You know, I would say Godspell, which is one of the first shows that I did professionally at the Old Globe Theater when I was 16 years old, also has a special place in my heart. But also my first Broadway show does. I mean, it depends on when you ask me. So that's why it's probably more than three.
It was just recently announced that you're going to appear in The Bandwagon at City Center Encores, directed by Kathleen Marshall. Have you ever worked with Kathleen Marshall before?
Kathleen was the choreographer for Kiss Me, Kate.
Of course, I should have remembered.
And we've done some other things, too. I'm trying to think at Encores. We worked together on, I think it was Do Re Mi. But she and I are friends. We used to live a block away. They finally moved away, I think, to get away from me.
I doubt it.
Finally moved to a suburb, and because she and her husband have two beautiful kids. But I just love Kathleen. She's such a smart director and choreographer, and this is the perfect kind of show. She's like almost from that era of musical, and that's what she was raised on, and loves those tunes. This is a Schwartz and Dietz songbook, you know, That's Entertainment and By Myself and Shine on Your Shoes. There's just a really great score in this particular show. So I'm really looking forward to doing it with her. And the book's being redone by Douglas Carter Bean. So I'm really excited to see what he does with it. We did one reading, which was spectacular, and he's refining that.
That should be a wonderful time. It's in November in New York City, of course. And in the just minute or two we have left here, your bio says that you fly and jump out of planes. How did you get into that?
You know, I always loved flying. Even my son, who's 10 years old now, has been obsessed with airplanes. My father, who just turned 94, is one of the original Tuskegee Airmen.
Oh, wow.
And he also has been obsessed by airplanes as well. And I think it just, you know, probably runs in the genetic code. So I actually ended up buying a plane when I was 25, and I was doing Trapper John MD, and learned to fly and flew quite a bit. And then after that, I always wanted to skydive. So I ended up taking up skydiving, and that was a lot of fun as well.
How often do you get to do it?
Now, I haven't done it since I moved from California. The problem with living in New York is it's an all-day, even in California, it was an all-day affair to go skydiving because I had to drive about two and a half hours away to do it. And then you have to get in line to get on the planes, and it takes quite a while. So I just don't have that time anymore with a 10-year-old and an active career as well. Maybe I'll take it up again one of these days. Every time I go to Hawaii, I wish my flying license was current, because I'm not current anymore, and we go out there often. But one of these days, I'll probably do that again. My son, of course, wants to fly.
Brian Stokes Mitchell will join the Philadelphia Orchestra in their opening night at SPAC on Wednesday, August 6th at 8 p.m. For more information, visit SPAC.org. Stokes, thanks for joining us, and have a wonderful time at SPAC.
You are so sweet, Sarah. Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Once again, the Philadelphia Orchestra will begin their summer season at SPAC with the Great American Songbook, conducted by Bramwell Tovey and featuring vocalist Brian Stokes Mitchell, on August 6th. SPAC.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
There's so much more embracing. Still to be done, but time is racing. Ah, well, we'll catch up some other time. Some other time.